Hey everyone, it's Mick Kerr encouraging you to check out the great auctions from the Steffes Group this first week of June. The R&J Farms of Purley, Minnesota Farm Retirement Auction. Near Alice, North Dakota, the Kyle and Stacy Marshke Farm Retirement Auction. Through the 15th, it's the Eugene and Dolores Undum Farm Retirement Auction, Rogers, North Dakota. And happening at the Steffes Group facility in West Fargo, the Rust Sales Tillage Parts Auction. These are just a few of the timed online auctions. Check them out at steffesgroup.com. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio, continuing our dicamba discussion with the Minnesota Ag Department's Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division Director, Joshua Stamper. Good afternoon, Josh.
Good afternoon, Mick.
Well, the world has, as if it wasn't confusing enough in the last 8 weeks, just got a lot more uncertain and confusing on Wednesday evening. Did you see this coming at all, Josh?
I did not. This is the dicamba rodeo that we've been in just took a turn, unfortunately, for the worse in this. And that, you know, we thought we had a good year. I was not expecting to. We thought in Minnesota we've had some successful use underneath our belts for the last couple of years. Had an early spring, and we recognize this puts a lot of Minnesota growers and North Dakota and South Dakota growers in a difficult position. We're just going to try to provide them with the resources to best respond to this.
And moving forward, responding, of course, you have a cooperative agreement to enforce all of the pesticide regulations with the Environmental Protection Agency. And I would assume at this point you have contacted them, but they have no information for you.
Well, yeah, we've tried to contact them. They don't answer the phone. The real challenge for a lot of these growers, and what, you know, the grower community needs to understand, is that this was an instance where a separate branch of government, the judicial branch, came in and provided a ruling that the executive branch, in this case, that executive branch agency is the EPA, they're saying that they did not correctly register these products, and they vacated that registration. So on a national level, these products are now no longer registered. However, there is still one dicamba product that is legal to use because it was part of a separate registration division or decision by the EPA. So you still can use Tavium in Minnesota, either before the V4 leaf stage or less than 45 days after planting. Or in Minnesota, we have a June 20th cutoff date. But whichever of those three restrictions is the most restrictive will determine when you can use Tavium.
Yeah, which was not approved until after this lawsuit was filed back in 2017. So, I mean, I doubt Syngenta has enough product in the warehouse to provide for, I don't know how many million acres of soybeans there are in the U.S. What if farmers go ahead and use dicamba? Just, hey, we're going to do it anyway. I mean, it is illegal. You, as the spray police in the state of Minnesota, what are you required to do then?
So we respond to all complaints about pesticide misuse. So if we get a complaint about someone out applying dicamba after that, we will respond. We will go in. This is a restricted use product. And as a function of that, the dealers are required to report who they sell it to and when they sell it. So we would come in and do an investigation, determine whether or not there had been a violation of state or federal pesticide laws. And then we would bring them into an enforcement process. Every case is individual and unique, and there are specific gravity factors that go into our enforcement actions. So, you know, I can't come in and say it's going to cost you $1,000 to misuse it, but there would be significant financial penalties.
Sure. All right. Well, that is the the legal world that everybody has to live in, both the farmer and the state ag departments, obviously. But what is likely the next step? I know, again, you're waiting for information from EPA. That will determine. And is the next step the EPA to legally respond, requesting an appeal, go to the Supreme Court, get a stay? What do you see happening next, Josh?
The EPA would appeal this, and I have no doubt in my mind that the registrants, the reason EPA is probably not answering the phone is because they're probably talking to the registrants. The registrants and the EPA would have to appeal this, but the way this would be appealed would be that it would have to be heard, this case would be heard in its entirety by some higher court authority. And we don't expect that to happen in any time less or anything less than a week. And in reality, it's probably more like 2 weeks. So at this point in time, we're looking at growers and saying, you know what, you're not going to be able to use this product probably this year. The first call, if I was sitting on a significant stock of dicamba product that's not legal to use anymore, first thing I would do is call my ag dealer and have a conversation with them about potentially returning any unused product, because the labels that are on these products right now expire at the end of this year. And we don't want all this product to end up in pesticide disposal programs, especially if these are, sealed containers. We want to get those back to the registrants so that the registrants could potentially repackage and relabel those products so that in the future, when they do get a legal registration, they can be used.
Yeah, back in 2018, it was a two-year registration, and that expires this year. They were working on the registration for 2021. Boy, at this point, Josh, do you have a plan moving forward?
Our plan moving forward is to continue to remind growers that while dicamba is an exceptionally powerful tool, it's not the only tool in their toolbox. We'd encourage them to, consider, again, they still have glyphosate as a tool. They have some of these group 2 herbicides like Pursuit, Classic, First Rate, and then also the group 14s like Flexstar, Cobra, Cadet, Ultra Blazer. And if they have herbicide resistant weeds such as water hemp, we'd really encourage them to look at Minnesota's extension publications on the layering of residual herbicides to restrict those flushes until later in the year when they get crop canopy closure, when those weed pressure is less likely to result in yield impacts.
Sure. All right. In the meantime, there are, what you're saying is there are options out there, alternate options that are extension and crop consultants and agronomists are very willing to talk about.
Yeah. And those, I think the first thing that, growers have got to do, they got to reach out to their retailer, start that conversation. Extension has a really good recommendation on these layering residual herbicides. Growers are understandably upset about this because of the fact that they've invested in a technology and now they have, a separate branch of government, which previously hasn't necessarily had a dog in this fight, coming in and saying, well, now you can't use this. But our hope is that we can provide growers some guidance so that they can legally use some of these products and salvage as much as they can out of the 2020 growing season.
I'm sure you've read the ruling and some of the comments by the judges, Josh. What'd you think of those?
The Ninth Circuit was the court that revoked the registration on Transform, which was a new insecticide in the, I believe it was Group 4D. I believe it was sulfoxaflor. This was the court that revoked that registration. It was probably 4 years ago. It was a process where they came in and told EPA, well, you didn't do your due diligence in this, so we're going to revoke this, or they ordered them to revoke that registration. It took a year, but sulfoxaflor is, their Transform is now currently registered, and it's a great tool for growers. You know, this is not new with the Ninth Circuit, but at the end of the day, you know, our Constitution is set up to have three separate branches of government. And this is an instance where, whether we like it or not, this the judicial branch of government has checked the executive branch of government. And I think that we still live in a rule of law, and we would ask that, you know, growers continue to follow these rules so that we can continue to have these really powerful tools at our disposal in the future.
All righty. Josh Tamper, who is the director of the Pesticide Regulation Division, Minnesota Ag Department. Josh, thank you so very much for your time, for your visit, and hope you have a good weekend.
I thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. And we'll talk again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Mick.